Well, happy Easter to you. You guys look good today. You look like you clean up well. For you who are regular here at City Church, so glad to have you with us. For you who may be visiting, what an honor it is that you would join us on Resurrection Sunday, where today we're going to celebrate that the grave is empty. Amen? At the end of this, I'm going to preach extra short. It's my Easter gift to you every year. And then we're going to end with just a time of worship and also baptizing some people this morning. In first service, we baptized six people, just celebrating life change, going from death to life this morning. Amen. What a perfect day to celebrate people going from death to life. Several years ago, I got the privilege and opportunity to travel to Israel for the first time. I've been several times since then, but I had a friend who said, I will pay for you and any of your pastor, your Tulsa pastor friends to go to Israel for free, and how many know you don't turn that down? And so we went, and I was excited just to walk where Jesus walked, and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and Jerusalem, and to see all of the things. And the guy who kind of put on this trip for us, he said, I want to take half a day and I want to take you somewhere, and I know it's not a biblical site, he goes, but I think it'll be worth our time. And at that time, they had just opened Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And I remember us walking through this museum, a journey through one of obviously the darkest times in human history during World War II and the Holocaust. The museum, being brand new at that time, is a long triangular prism. And it kind of cuts through the middle of this mountain. And as you're walking through these exhibits, it's just horrifying, and just the brokenness is overwhelming of what happened during that time. But the hallways begin to narrow. There's these concrete, you know, triangular hallways, there's a gradual slope as you go. And it's almost like the building in the hallway is kind of pulling you into the story slowly. But then every once in a while from above, there'll be a cutout above, and you'll get this skylight, which will bring just a little bit of light down into the museum. And then in the far distance, where you can see on the far right picture here, at the very end of the museum, the walls fall away. You walk out onto a balcony, and there is a breathtaking view of all of the hills of Jerusalem. And I'd never been inside of a building that preached a message quite like that did. That even in the darkest times and places, that the light still breaks through. And if you and I just hold on long enough, how many know we get to the end where the light overwhelms the darkness? How many know that's what we're celebrating this morning? This morning, that the grave is empty, that death has died. We've just gone through this week of Holy Week. The last few days of Good Friday and Holy Saturday, and today being Easter Sunday. And it's a picture for our life. You may not even know this, but in your life, you're going to live out this repetitious pattern of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday over and over again. Friday is the day of death. It's the day of loss, of grief, of suffering. Friday's on the day when everything seems to fall apart, when your hopes get nailed to the cross and your prayers seem to be met with silence. Friday, we find ourselves standing in front of things that seem to be dead. Then we get to Saturday. Saturday is the day in between where nothing seems to be happening in your life, but everything is actually happening beneath the surface. Saturdays are quiet. Saturdays are confusing. It's actually the space where you and I live most of our lives, the in-between. We don't see the miracles. We don't see the victory. In fact, we don't even feel victorious in the moment, but we just hold on by faith and don't let go. You ever been there? Which brings us to Easter Sunday, is the day of resurrection. When the stone is rolled away and what was buried and dead begins to breathe and have life again. You are going to repeat this pattern over and over again in your life. You're gonna have that job that you're passionate about, that was everything that you wanted to be. You stay up late thinking about it, just kind of everything that you wanted, and then all of a sudden there's a restructure in the organization and you get laid off. And you experienced a Friday, a death, something you didn't see coming. You begin to send out your resumes, just certain that the next opportunity is right around the corner, but it doesn't come your way quickly. And all of a sudden, you're questioning your identity. Am I ever gonna find something that awakens my passion and calling again? And how many know, that's the Saturday, isn't it? That's the waiting. The in-between where you're like, God, do you hear my prayer? Are you active? Are you anywhere to be found? We spend a lot of our life in Saturday. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get that new opportunity comes your way. It fits your gifting. It reawakens your passion and your calling. And it wasn't exactly what you thought it was going to be, because it never is it? But then all of a sudden, in hindsight, you see God's hand, how it directed you to this place. How many know that is resurrection? That Sunday. And you're gonna repeat this pattern over and over again. The loss of a relationship or a marriage in your life, maybe it's a personal crisis of faith, the loss of a baby, battling an addiction, a health struggle, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it makes us stop and ask the question, what is God doing and how is God working in each of these places? See, Good Friday, we were there just a few days ago at the foot of the cross. It is the moment where we celebrate at Calvary, the world witnessed the death and crucifixion of Jesus. And from everybody's perspective, from their reality, the crucifixion, Good Friday, was the death of Jesus. But we know that God was actually at work, wasn't he? That Friday was actually the death of death. That's why Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 54. He says, death is now swallowed up in victory. Look at that imagery. It's been consumed. Now death has been overcome by victory. So, oh death, where is your sting? The sting that was so painful is now gone. Oh death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? The imagery is it's like a bee without a stinger. Like a poisonous snake that's been defanged. Like no longer the sting of death upon our lives because of the work of Jesus through the cross and the resurrection. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. He disarmed the powers of sin and death. Death has now been swallowed up. If you didn't know this, death from Genesis 3 in the moment that Adam and Eve ate in the garden, death has been the great disruptor of life. Death has been the thing that has separated us. It interrupts dreams and it shatters our plans. It leaves children without parents and parents without children. Death brings unimaginable grief and sorrow, wounds, unfinished conversations. How many know death had always had the final say until Jesus? Which moves us into Saturday. Holy Saturday in the week of Holy Week is often the forgotten day. It's just kind of that in-between where we kind of wait between the crucifixion and resurrection. But Holy Saturday is the place where God is moving in profound ways. In fact, church history would tell us that the thing that's happening on Saturday is called the harrowing of hell, a kind of a theological term that we don't throw around very often. It's the day where Jesus descends into the realm of the dead to rescue those held captive by death. Saturday is actually the day many people think God is silent or God is not doing anything, and yet we know God was at work doing some of his greatest work behind the scenes. We aren't given the details in scripture about what the harrowing of hell completely is, but we get this in 1 Peter 3:18. It says, Christ suffered once for sins, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he, being Jesus, went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Ephesians 4 says Jesus descended into the lower regions. 1 Peter 4 says the gospel was now preached to those who were dead. The Apostles' Creed that we recite that is part of our faith tradition says he descended to the dead and on the third day rose again. So we don't know exactly what the harrowing of hell means on Saturday, but we do know this. Jesus went to the realm of the dead to preach victory over those who had already passed away. That the resurrection and the crucifixion was not just a present or future reality, it actually went back into the past to those who had already passed and secured their victory over death. It was the decisive moment in which everything changed. The harrowing of hell is God's great rescue mission. There's no place so dark, so forsaken, so forgotten that Jesus won't go there to rescue us, amen? Amen. There's a picture, a painting, a 15th century painter, Andreas Pavius, drew this painting. And I'll give you this, there is a lot going on in this painting right here. It just looks like a mass confusion. We could be here for like hours trying to pick apart all of the things. Instead of painting like 8 different paintings, he's like, I'm gonna do it in one and put everything in there. You have soldiers, you have mourners, you have disciples and onlookers, you have people who are weeping out of grief, you have some who are an angry mob. I want to point this out to you real quick, though. There's angels flying around Jesus, and I know it's hard to see from maybe your perspective, but some of these angels are holding cups, and they're actually collecting the blood of Jesus because it was the blood of Jesus that became the sacrifice and atonement for our sins. And I know it's especially hard to see this part, but there is blood that is flowing down the cross, the wood of the cross, and it's going all the way to the ground and actually flowing into the realm of the dead. That skull down there is representative of the curse of Adam, the first Adam who was not sinless, who brought sin and death in the earth. Now the curse had been revoked and broken because of the blood of Jesus. And the cross of Jesus was now speaking to those who had died. There's hope and future for you. How many know God was working on Saturday? Death had always had the final word, but death itself was now dying. Which brings us to today, Sunday morning, an empty tomb, angels announcing he is risen. The resurrection of Jesus is the decisive moment. It's the announcement when death itself was forever defeated, that death had now lost its power. Sin had lost its grip upon our lives. The curse was broken once and for all, and the prison doors opened from the inside. If the cross has reminded us that God does not bypass suffering, his resurrection reminds us that God does not leave us there. Amen? How many know we don't get to bypass brokenness and suffering in this world? It finds all of us. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's a part of a reality of being in a broken world. But here is the good news that we rejoice on Easter morning. God does not leave us there. The end of our story, my story, your story, if you are in Christ, how many know the end of your story is resurrection? If Jesus was resurrected, that means we who are in Christ, who put our faith in him, will one day be resurrected. Amen? Not just metaphorically or figuratively, but literally experience a physical resurrection of our body and spirit. What does that mean for you and I this morning? I think a lot of times when we hear a message on resurrection, we just think about our future and what it means way in the future, one day when we pass away. But what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for you right now and the life that you're living? I want to give you three things quickly, and then we'll be done this morning. Number one is this: because of the resurrection, we can live without fear. How many know you can live without fear? In a world right now that is endlessly anxious, anxiety and depression rates skyrocketing, you are now consuming information that your bodies, your mind, and your emotions, you were not created to hold the amount of information that you now hold in a technology world. Did you know that? You weren't created for that. Like, stress levels are off the charts. And yet Jesus looks it up and says, because of the resurrection, you don't have to live in fear because your future has already been secured, amen? Like, you can walk in confidence knowing that no matter what happens in this world, that God has you, he's holding you. That's the power of the resurrection. John chapter 14, verse 27. Can you imagine that Jesus was about to leave this earth and his disciples are a little bit worried? Please don't leave us. Everybody hates us. You need to stick around, right? And Jesus looks at him. No, my Holy Spirit's gonna be with you. And he says this: peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. He goes on and says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The only way Jesus can say this is he knows to the disciples, you may even have to give your life in this world, but don't get this wrong. I've got you in the world to come. You will be resurrected. My Holy Spirit will be with you. It's gonna give you everything you need, so don't be anxious, don't worry, don't fear. Number two, because of the resurrection, we suffer with hope and purpose. We don't grieve and suffer as mourn as the world does. We grieve and hope with purpose because we know all of this is heading somewhere, amen? It doesn't just end when we don't know how the story ends. No, we know the story ends. If you've been with us in this series, we've talked about this. If the end of your story is not good, it's not over, amen? That's what we know in Jesus. Our hope and our future is resurrection, so we grieve differently. We hope differently. We know resurrection is coming. And number three, the last one is this: because of the resurrection, we can live resurrected lives now. I think we miss this part of the resurrection. We think, oh, well, maybe I'm just supposed to suffer and struggle my whole life until maybe one day when I get to heaven and it'll be all gone. But what Jesus offers us now, because of the grave is empty, how many know you can experience the resurrection of Jesus now? You can experience hope and purpose and peace and joy in your life. He is offering us resurrection life. If you've been around City Church very long, one of my best friends in the world, he's part of my inner circle. There's three guys in my life that I just share everything with. We meet every other Wednesday together. We have been doing life together for almost a decade, over a decade. And Blaine is one of our overseers here. He's on a team and a board that gives oversight to our church. He'll sit right here on the second row many Sundays, even though this isn't his home church, and he comes just to support me and have my back. He preaches here at City Church every year. Many of you are familiar with his story. Years ago, he wrote his story in a book called Death by a Thousand Lies, which just details his addiction. Blaine was the youth pastor of the largest youth group in America. Everybody wanted to come to his conference. Everybody wanted to buy his books. He started a Christian TV show back in the 90s that became the number one Christian TV show in the nation. He was a Christian rock star in the United States. He planted a church in Frisco, Texas that grew like zero to 1,500 overnight, which just makes me mad, right? I look at him all the time, I'm like, you're not even that good of a speaker. Like, just move to a city where there's not enough churches and people just run out of options, you know? Like, that's how you grew your church. Like, there's nowhere else to go. I can say that to him, I love him, yeah. Just everything he touched turned to gold. Every book was a bestseller. And nobody knew in his personal life, he had a 20-year addiction to pornography that had then escalated to living a completely double life for years. I mean, imagine your life kind of going up and to the right, and yet there's this whole part of your life that nobody knows. I'm talking about escalating into women in multiple cities, prostitutes, escorts. It unraveled. One day he's with a woman in another city. She finds out who he really is. And she decides, you know what, I'm gonna let everybody know the phony that you are. And she does. If Blaine was here and he tells a story, he says, this is the worst and best day of my life. The shame and condemnation was so overwhelming in that moment for Blaine. He runs into traffic in Dallas trying to take his own life. It makes the front page of the Dallas Morning News. How many know that's a bad day? That's a rough day. There's just the shame and condemnation. He knew it would all come crashing down eventually. He gets sent to the top sexual addiction recovery centers in America, those places where you go for like 30 days and you pay like $50,000 for them to fix you. The number one sexual addiction counselor in the nation looks at him and says, Blaine, I don't think you'll ever be completely free from this, but maybe we can get you to a level of freedom where you can live a normal life. He leaves and he's like, well, that's not very encouraging, not very hopeful. One day, Blaine's driving from Kansas City back to Tulsa. God speaks to him. He says, Blaine, I don't want to give you just recovery. I want to give you resurrection. I want you to experience resurrection from this. That was 15 years ago. I am a proud board member of something that we opened last year in Wagner, Oklahoma. Many of you in City Church were a part of it, called House of Resurrection, where every week, my good friend Blaine brings men from all over the country, many who are pastors and have nowhere else to go, into a house that we helped fund in Wagner on Fort Gibson Lake to help men overcome sexual addiction. Amen? And I get to sit on these phone calls. I was just on a phone call a couple weeks ago, and I'm talking about a Zoom call with men from all over the country who didn't know where to go, thought their life was over, made mistakes, it was in over their head. And Blaine begins to tell their story. And how many know when you hear Blaine's story, you just think to yourself, maybe mine, I'm not so as bad as I thought I was. And I get to watch these men experience resurrection. Because how many know, we say this all the time, God doesn't take good people and make them a little bit better. He takes dead people that are sinful and makes them alive again, amen? He resurrects dead things and brings them back to life. That's what he does. He takes the worst of the worst. He takes stories that seem hopeless. He takes marriages that are at the very end and he begins to breathe life in them again. But how many know we have to walk in resurrection power, amen? It doesn't just happen. We have to walk in the resurrection power that God has given us. Maybe today you walked in carrying the weight of some kind of death. Something is dying or is dead inside of you. I'm just telling you, the grave is empty and Jesus today wants to breathe life into whatever is dead, amen? If you would this morning, stand to your feet with me across this place. If you would take a minute with me just to close your eyes right where you're at. See, here's the thing about this, and I'm included in this. It's not if something is dying or dead, it's what. There's always something that we're wrestling and struggling through. Maybe it's hope, maybe it's joy. Maybe it's the death of a dream. Maybe your life didn't turn out like you thought it was going to. A relationship, a marriage. Maybe you're just walking around and you're just like, man, it's been a long time since I was really joyful. My joy is gone. Man, I believe this morning that Jesus is still resurrecting things. He's still bringing life from death, amen? Holy Spirit, we just ask this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you for your work. God, we thank you that the grave is empty today and we can rejoice in that you are bringing dead things and making them alive again. God, I pray for every single person in this room. God, whatever may be dead or dying inside of us, that you would breathe life again, that you would breathe your purpose and your hope once again. As we lay it before you, as we surrender it to you, Father, would you breathe life again? Breathe life again. With every head bowed, no one looking around just in this moment. And I want to invite those today. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you once did and you've walked away, or maybe you never have. I want you to know this. You don't come today out of condemnation or guilt. God's not up there judging you. You have a God who has relentlessly pursued you with his love. He will never stop pursuing you. His love is not like this love of the world. It's not conditional. It doesn't have strings attached. No, he loves you endlessly. And today, you can put your trust in him. You simply confess you need a savior because you can't save yourself. And you need a Lord because you're not Lord over your life. You're not in control. And as you give up those things to him, he welcomes you into the family of God and things become new. Things that were dead become new again. Maybe that's you in this room. I want to pray with you and for you. Father, I thank you in this moment that we today put our trust in Jesus. God, we need a savior because we cannot save ourselves, and that savior is Jesus, who went to the cross and took our place and became a sacrifice and atonement for our sin. God, we need a Lord. Lord over our lives because we are not in control. So we give our lives and everything that we have to you. We choose this day to follow you with everything that we have. We thank you that the grave is empty and we rejoice in our victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Here's what we're gonna do this morning. We're gonna worship like people who know that the grave is empty, amen? Let's worship together and we're gonna celebrate some people in baptism coming from death to life.